We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. It is March Madness time. Oh, my goodness. We are here, sitting courtside with you on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network for Courtside with Christy and Gabe. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, oh my gosh, first of all, I had to sport the law firm of Sonano and Clark, Clark Sonano, however you want to say it, established 2020. And I don't like to toot my own horn, but beep, beep out here. Oh my God. Now listen, who knew it would catch on like that? But I think, you know, the Iowa fans in particular, they love it for whatever reason. So you like it, I love it. And let's keep it pushing. But I just got this in the mail yesterday. So
it's beautiful.
I had a bow on it and everything and a little thank you card in there. And so it was very sweet from the law firm.
So two things on that. So one, excellent leadership by Caitlin Clark, putting her teammate first in the law firm. Something that a lawyer would never do. I just want to say that. There's always a fight as to who's first in the law firm name. It's very contentious, and a lot of lawyers care about it a lot. So good for Caitlin for seeding that. And just it's a beautiful shirt. I love those. The Iowa fans are just rabid. That was the other thing. Like, I love the Iowa fans. They are all over the place.
It's perfect color. Yeah,
they can be mean. They can be mean at times, and we may. Depending on where we go here, because we're going to pick a bracket today, folks.
I know.
We're going to pick the official courtside bracket where Christy and I have to agree.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. We'll see if we still have a podcast after this. And also subscribe to this channel just while we're here. Subscribe to our channel. It says subscribe now, and then boom, our Twitter names will pop up right below us. Oh, and also check us out on, well, not Christy and I, but Aaron Barzilai and Megan Gower and myself. We're all on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. Super fun time over there. Kind of doing something similar, just not as in-depth as to each matchup and disagreeing with each other, which I know Christy and I will do. I think, right? I think we're going to disagree a lot.
Absolutely. Maybe a couple. So it's really hard because it's like, I think I chose my bracket based upon what I wanted to see rather than what probably could actually happen. So I want rematches. I want possible contrasting of styles matchups. Mm-hmm. So my bracket is based on what I like.
And that's totally fair. I just want to tell, pick your bracket however you want. I make a million. I was saying this on the Iron College Basketball podcast. I make a million of these things. I have a control bracket, which is all chalk. I'm gonna do a mascot fight bracket in a bit once I finish up my whatever, how much more analysis I could chalk put in here. I also feel like you ever seen that gif of the guy of Charlie from Always Sunny, and he has like all the numbers. That's me, but like it's all just like random stuff. It doesn't much have to do with basketball. Like right. just like whatever. So we're gonna pick it and be hey, fun.
We're out here.
But yeah, I'm stoked. I we have the first four tonight. Starting tonight. I forget who actually kicks off tonight. Yeah, we have Incarnate
Howard. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
We have Incarnate Word and Howard in Columbia.
Yeah.
And then DePaul and Dayton, which should be awesome in Ames.
That should be a really good game. Yeah, that should be a really good game. And you know, when you're talking about DePaul and Alyssa Morrow, she is just so ridiculously consistent, right? I mean, we know she's efficient, but she is just insanely consistent with her game, and only a freshman. I mean, she is just a spectacular player to watch. So it'll be interesting to see what Dayton does with her defensively.
She leads the country in double doubles, and she's a freshman.
That's what I'm saying.
Point that out. An unbelievable player. So that's the first four tonight. Then tomorrow night we got Mount St. Mary's versus Longwood and Florida State, Missouri State. Sneaky good game there. Although I'm probably picking Missouri State. We don't have to pick those for. We don't have to pick the playing games, right? Or how do you feel about picking the playing games?
I mean, I guess you have to pick them, even though some of the brackets just have both of the teams and then who moves on to play in that initial first round, which is fine too. But I mean, Missouri State, and they had so many injuries this year, but still ended up having a crazy good season, more than 20 wins for Amaka Agugwa. And, you know, I know she is excited to be back in the tournament.
No,
so we'll see what happens.
And it's super exciting. I do want to point out one thing, and I was going to save this for when we're actually picking games. But so this is correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first time we get the 11 seeds doing a play-in for the women's.
Yes.
Right. So
yes,
they've had this on the men's side since 2011. The first year that happened, if you recall, VCU went all the way from the play-in to the Final Four.
Right.
And every year except 2019, there's been at least one 11 seed that has advanced past the play-in, past the round of 62 into the round of 32, and five teams have gone on to go to the Sweet 16 and beyond. I think two of them made it to the Final Four.
Wow.
So just don't just brush over that slash line. It's a big deal. Yeah, watch.
That's a big deal.
Watch tonight, because I think it's a big deal. And we'll see which one of these teams, because on average, if we're taking the men's and applying it to the women's, on average, one of these teams will make it past.
See, now I've already made my bracket, and see, now you're giving me that nugget, and I would go back and maybe redo something. No, I'm fine. But no, that's totally interesting.
Yeah.
And you never know. Like, this is the first time the women have the field of 68, right? So we'll see what happens with the women's side, if that's kind of similar to what's happened on the men's side the last 10 years.
We'll,
11 years.
We'll talk about it when we get to Georgia, because that may be one of my more shocking picks. We'll see. So do you just want to get started? Let's go.
You call them out. I mean, I have my bracket right here, but I'll follow you in the order of how you want to do it.
Okay. I'm going to just go on the way the brackets list on ESPN. So we'll start with Greensboro. You can also join the Hurt Hoop Stats Bracket Challenge, where you'll see this bracket that we're making together, unless we just like, we can't do it because there's not something that we can't get past. But we'll have the Sweet 16. You'll see all of it, and we'll explain it all. But it may just be broken up into two parts, because I imagine we're going to talk for a very long time, as we like to do, Christine.
We do. I mean, hey, that's why we're here.
It's what we would be doing courtside
all day. Like, why not? And it's March Madness, so come on. You get bonus conversation from us.
I'm excited to do. All right, let's get into it. All right. So, okay, starting with South Carolina versus either Howard or Incarnate Word. Who would you like to pick?
I'm going to go with South Carolina in that.
I think that's a good pick.
Is that that's mutually agreed
on? I think we agree on that. Although, let's give Howard first time in the tournament since 2001. Yes.
Shout out to Ty Grace. That's my girl. I love her. She has done it the right way. And she's just a magnificent mentor for those young ladies. So it was thrilling to see them doing the gritty, getting off the bus and like having a great old time after winning the MEAC. It was really exciting to see the smiles on their faces.
And they lost the MEAC last year. So they lost the championship, had to sit there and watch the other team get the confetti, cut down the nuts. So I always loved that story. And we have a couple of the teams in the tournament this year that came back and persevered through that loss to come back next year. And they, they're a DMV school. So Hope Howard wins tonight, but Incarnate Word's really good too. Cinderella team made a run in the Southland with two buzzer beaters and they're in their first NCAA tournament. So
that's
what we got on them. Thanks for playing though. I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Stop going.
So now we have Miami and South Florida on the 8-9 line, and you better be picking Miami.
I certainly picked Miami. Okay. Listen, I picked Miami the last 2 weeks in the AP poll at number 25 because of their progress and their momentum. And it's always, the committee always says, okay, your last 10 games. Okay, well, how about their last 5 games? Amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And their run through the tournament was spectacular. They got to the championship game. So kudos to Katie Meyer and that group for their fight and their grit. And that's what it takes. It takes heart. Obviously, you have to execute, but it takes that fight in postseason play. And if you're trending this way, and they didn't not have it earlier in the season, they lost some really super close games to some really great ranked teams. So let's not get it twisted. They didn't come out of nowhere and all of a sudden start playing well. They gradually moved ahead and they got to postseason play in the ACC tournament and showed all that hard work and grit was not for nothing, right? They went out there and showed themselves. So yeah, I picked Miami in that one.
So this is why I love
Christy. I don't know who you picked though. I don't know who you picked.
Obviously I'm going Miami, but this is why I love Christy. Cause like, I don't have to sit up here and just be the one praising Miami. I co-sign everything you said, and Katie Meyer has been an excellent coach for this team. And they are really, I think they are talented. They're versatile. They have a lot of depth as well. So I'm excited to see them in this tournament. USF is no joke whatsoever. Bethany Mononga is fantastic. They are a really, really good team, well-coached. So it'll be interesting. I like that there's a kind of a local tinge to this, although I'm not sure how many local kids either of these schools has. I know Miami has a couple, but not too many. I'm not sure how many USF has from the Miami region, but it'll be a fun game no matter what.
Yeah. Oh no, it'll be fun. And I think, it's a great test. This opportunity for all 68 teams is such a great test. And they want it to be a testimony to their hard work from the empty gyms in the summer. They're putting in the extra time and they're doing the individual workouts on the track, in the weight room, all that stuff. Here's why you were doing all that. It wasn't just to get through it on a Tuesday. Oh, what time is it? I'm hungry. It's lunchtime. No, it was for this moment. And the dreams will come true and it should be magical for all 68 teams. But I think that first round is really when you put your toe in the water and test the temperature of what you're about to jump into. And I think it's just fun. The challenge of that is fun to watch.
Well, and speaking of teams that need to test the water a little bit in the first round of 68, we have UNC and Stephen F. Austin. Now, this has become kind of a sexy upset pick. I think UNC has been a little overrated by the stats this year. They're really high in net. They've lost some crucial games and, they've been up and down this year. Stephen F. Austin has been a good team. I'm still going with UNC. I just think UNC is really good. I don't think they're going to lose in the first round. I don't think they're going to overlook Stephen F. Austin, especially if people picking against them. So I'm going to go with UNC.
Yeah, I went with UNC also. I just thought just how competitive the ACC was towards the end of the season in particular. We were talking about the tournament and all those great teams just beating up on one another. I just think that has them battle tested to face a team like Stephen F. Totally Austin. And then back in the 1900s when I was playing, we played Stephen F. Austin down in Austin, Texas in the Sweet 16 game. So, I mean, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I just remembered that.
So you guys had to play Stephen F. Austin and Texas?
Yeah.
In Austin?
Yeah. Yes.
On
their court. And we had our band and about a handful of parents and all that there and some boosters and whatnot, but totally outnumbered. It was, 13,000, probably 800 of them and maybe 200. There for us, counting the band, the cheerleaders and parents and boosters.
We'll talk more about Chris's experience as a one seed when we get down to NC State in the Bridgeport region. Certainly get into. Let's talk Arizona versus UNLV. I originally had UNLV beating Arizona. I looked at a little bit closer at UNLV. They have really struggled against good teams on their schedule. Yeah. And Arizona has Kate Reese back. So I went Arizona.
I went Arizona also. Another team. I know they got bumped out in the Pac-12 tournament sooner than they would have liked to. But I just think that it's going to be a challenge for anybody facing a team who went to the championship game last year and have a number of players who have that experience. I think that counts for something. And I picked them because of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that experience is going to help them. UNLV is a good team. If Arizona was playing Stephen F. Austin, I may go Stephen F. Austin, but I think Arizona is going to be good enough, and they're going to be hyped up to get Kate Reese back. And then that sets up a very nice second round matchup that we can talk about in just a second. Georgia versus the Slash, Dayton or DePaul. Who'd you take here?
Oh man, that took a while. I was sitting and staring at that for a while. I love what Joni has done, and the SEC, another conference of teams that have beat up on one another at the top there. But DePaul is so tough, so man. I just think, I don't know. DePaul to me could be that Cinderella team that basically, not everyone takes into account what their offensive firepower is. And we already talked about Alyssa Morrow and what her abilities are and her double-double machinery that she presents. But at this juncture of the season, it's about defense, and Georgia is a better defensive team. So I went with Georgia.
Okay. We're going to have to have a talk here. So I went with the Slash. I went with the Slash. I'm going with either Dayton or DePaul. To me, it doesn't matter who wins that game. I think whoever wins that game is going to have enough momentum, and both those teams are really good. Both those teams are ready to take on a team like Georgia, especially with Georgia in free fall. Five of their nine losses this season came since February started, including a loss to Auburn, who has not been good this year. I think that was just Auburn's second or third SEC win this year. I told you that stat about the 11 seeds.
Yes.
I think if I'm picking the six seeds who are playing the Slash teams, I'd say Ohio State is better right now than Georgia. And I think, Georgia does have tournament experience, and that's huge. But I just think that Dayton or DePaul both have the talent, and they'll have the momentum to beat Georgia. So what can I say to convince you here? Because Anisha Morrow is so talented that I think she'll be the best player on the floor if DePaul beats Dayton and gets to Georgia.
Okay.
I think Dayton, for their end, they've been playing some really good basketball, and they're really mad that they did not win the A-10, because if they won the A-10, they're off the 11 line.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to have a lot of just juice in that game. And I'm not sure Georgia's going to be ready for that. So that's my thought process. Is momentum is having either the best player or having a team that's more motivated, and the fact that Georgia's kind of in free fall and they haven't had time to really figure out what's even wrong with them.
I hear what you're saying, and I love the offensive firepower that DePaul has, no doubt about that. But can they defend? And can they sustain that defensive attention to detail against a team like Georgia, who could explode? I mean, we've seen them have great games this year where they have just gotten on a roll. And like you said, they haven't had time to refigure or reconfigure what's wrong with them at this juncture, which you don't want to have, on your mind. You want to just play chess, right? Playing checkers. Yeah. We want to play right now. We want to play chess, and we don't have to be, we don't want to be thinking about our minds, right? Like that. We're beyond that. That's January. You figure that out, right? At that point of the season, not in March. So that's a concern, but it's also a concern to me whether or not DePaul, with how they like to play and their pace of play, they want to stay out of foul trouble. So they're just going to be in your way, but they're not going to clamp you down.
No, you're right.
you know, with traps and full pressure, in full or three quarter or half court.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when you think about it, and it's not a slight, everybody has their own style, and you play to the strengths of your team, and the strength of that team is to score the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But my concern, Gabe, is can they stop people?
And that's where I am. The short answer is no. I just looked it up. Okay. They rank 355th out of 356 teams in points per game. That's bad. That's bad. We can say that's bad.
So it's not and just me throwing shade. It's statistics. Okay, no. Go ahead.
And Georgia's offense does rank as the 50th best Her Hoop Stats offensive rating, which is really good. And then their defense is ranked 11th in Her Hoop Stats offensive rating. However,
okay. Stats don't lie now.
So, and the other thing is, so the thing that I'm gonna concede on this one, because the one thing is Georgia's turnover rate is so low. It's pretty high. They turn the ball over on 18.5% of their possessions. It's about middle. Yeah, they're 60th percentile. If they were any worse at that, I would say then the pace for DePaul is going to kill them.
Yeah.
But I will concede, because Georgia's defense is so much better and they do have a ton of talent and they have that tournament experience. So we'll see. We'll see who's right on that one, on the court side. Now, my bracket, I'm picking the Slash.
Okay.
But on this one, on the court side official, we'll go UGA. Let's move on. Iowa State, UT Arlington.
Oh, Iowa State.
Done. Moving on. Here's an interesting, this game's going to be super interesting. So Colorado versus Creighton. Both teams have struggled against top tier opponents. Mm-hmm. So that kind of cancels out in my analysis. Creighton shoots like a ton of threes. They have a great offense. They do. Not that great defense.
No.
The defense for Colorado is better than Creighton's defense, certainly. And I think they're more defensive focused than the Blue Jays are. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have these two teams that are evenly matched, and I don't see a lot to separate them. Colorado has the best play on the floor, Maya Hollinshed. So give me that good defense, best play on the court. I'll take Colorado.
I went with Colorado also. Okay. I just think the way that they are in sync offensively has been impressive all season.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, for me, gave them the edge.
All right. Moving along. Iowa versus Illinois State. Shouts to the Cinderella Illinois State who won their conference as a 5 seed. The Fighting Calvin Wetzels, as I like to call him. Our guy Calvin was there watching his team win their conference. Great for them. But the law firm needs their billable hours. So
billable hours. Yes, Gabe.
Oh, I have so.
I'm going with the law firm, man.
I've been waiting for my law puns to be relevant. So
I love it.
I can write some down for you before you get on the call.
Oh, good. Give me those.
Maybe before you get on the call, because in case you have to talk about Iowa. Okay, so that's the first round in Greensboro. Let's do the second round in Greensboro.
Yeah.
We'll start with South Carolina, Miami. It's tough.
I'm sorry, Gabe.
It's okay. I picked South Carolina too.
It's tough.
It's okay. We're just gonna mosey on over. All right. Here's one thing. One thing.
Okay.
If someone was to upset South Carolina,
okay,
in the second round, out of all the 8-9 seeds in this tournament, I think Miami has the best shot, because Miami is not going to come into that game scared. They're not going to come into the game, you know, worried about the uniform on the other side. They're not going to come in worried about the fans. Nope. They're going to play basketball.
Yeah.
The thing is, South Carolina plays basketball just a little bit better. So I think it's safe to say that we're both picking South Carolina.
Yeah, we're going with South Carolina. I think, you know, the depth also, you know, is going to be a key factor in that game. And no, Miami's not going to be afraid. They're going to come in and run through the wall for Katie Meyer. They're for just sure. going to go for it. And no regrets. That's how they're going to play the game. No regrets. But at the end of the day, they have a double-double machine on the other side and Aaliyah Boston, who could be a big issue for them inside.
Yeah, and they did struggle with Elisa Cunane the other weekend. But, you know, I'm just saying Miami, it should be a better game than people expect. I think that might be something that's neat. I'll say this. I think Dawn Staley is going to be upset after the game because it'll be too close or something. That was my take. All right, moving on.
Yeah, I can see that.
UNC Arizona. Where are you going with this?
I'm going to Arizona.
Okay, we disagree.
I'm going with the battle-tested. You have that too?
No, we disagree.
Oh, wow. Okay, talk to me then.
No, you give me, tell me why you picked Arizona first, and then we'll.
I picked them because, again, of their tournament experience coming in. Carolina doesn't really have that. I like the fact that momentum-wise, the last 10 games, I know Arizona dropped a couple there down the stretch, but so did North Carolina.
They did.
So my edge goes to Arizona because of who played in the tournament last year to the championship game. And that level of comfort and confidence, I think it goes a long way. I mean, you can't teach experience. And I think that's what Arizona brings to the table.
So here's my thing. I've been pretty vocal about not believing in Arizona on this podcast.
Yeah.
And then they do have that win against Louisville. And that's a very, very nice win this season. That was like the second game of the year though. So yeah. I'm not sure how much we could take from it. They've been injured. They kind of look listless at times towards the end of the season, especially when Kate Reese went out. If she's fully healthy, maybe I could see it. I just don't expect her to be fully healthy.
Okay.
And this UNC team, I mean, you look at the teams they've lost to, NC State, Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech. And I think all those teams are awesome. I would say all those teams are a little bit better than Arizona. So to me, I just think the balanced attack of UNC is really tough to defend against. I think they have some nice matchups, especially on the wing with Deja Kelly and Alyssa Utsby. I gotta go. I think UNC to me is the best pick here, just because I think they're just more dynamic and versatile and able to change and game plan a little bit more for Arizona. Now the second round, you don't see as much game planning just because there's such a tight turnaround.
Right.
But I just think they're going to be able to attack those spaces in Arizona's defense that are there. Not that Arizona does not have, Arizona has a great defense. I'm not saying that, but there are gaps there. I just think that North Carolina could take advantage of those gaps. So I'm going to stick with UNC. Would you be offended if we switch it? We can keep arguing if you want to.
No, I wouldn't be offended. We'll go 1-1. You switched with the Georgia thing, so I'll go ahead and.
Do you believe me? Do you need more convincing?
Give me one more reason why.
Okay, let me give you one more reason why. Let me see.
Statistical
reason. Well, here it is. I mean, if we want to look, so I've been trying to look at everything through the four factors, just because in the tournament, it's tough. Like I haven't watched all of these teams play in their conference tournaments. Right. So it's very difficult to understand where these teams are at this exact moment. So we have to rely on the stats a little bit more. One of the four factors is rebound. We can look at offensive rebound rate, defensive rebound rate for both teams. Here we go. North Carolina, offensive rebound rate, 43rd best in the country.
Okay.
Defensive rebound rate for Arizona is 161st in the country, and they're 331st in defensive rebounds per game. So offensive glass is going to be there if North Carolina could take advantage of it. And then the other thing is that Arizona won't be able to take as much advantage of that offensive rebounding focus that UNC is going to have because they don't play with a ton of pace. So
there you go.
Okay. A statistical case, I think that's where I'm leaning, because both teams are really, if you look at their high level stats, they're pretty evenly matched up. You look at, you know, some of the other things they've done, and they're pretty just evenly matched teams. It's just, I think that rebounding is going to give them an edge. And I think North Carolina's versatility and ability to play at different paces will also give them an edge.
I like it. Sold.
Sold. Sold. Remove it.
Statistical, it tilted the balance for me and the scales. So I'm good. Yeah.
We might have to abandon this idea at some point because we're 30 minutes into the podcast and we haven't gotten through the first region. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to be like a 2-hour podcast. It doesn't matter.
I know. I just have to make sure. you know, because I have things set in my head. You know, sometimes I need things to walk me away from my thoughts sometimes. So that was, you know, statistical things walk me away.
There we go. There we go. I'm glad I could be convincing. My law degree was useful for something.
And well, the law firm, for me to add Gabe on here. I need to add Gabe.
I'll be an associate. I'll be an associate. The Clark and Susanna law firm. UGA, Georgia versus Iowa State. Cyclones are 3 seed. Georgia is 6 seed. Who you got there?
I'm going with Iowa State.
Yeah.
I just think they just play like a blender. You know, you push that button mm-hmm. for them and they are just like on 1,000. Mm-hmm. I'm going with them. And I think, you know, we were talking about earlier wins, like with, you know, Louisville being beaten early in the season, but Iowa was beaten earlier in the season by this Ohio State. I mean, by this Iowa State team. And I think that gives them confidence coming into the tournament. I mean, obviously outside of the conference, but in-state rivalry, and they hadn't beaten them in several seasons. So I think they're riding on a high in terms of that. Mm-hmm. And knowing that they have that belief and trust that they can do that. So I'm giving them the edge in that game.
Yeah. They're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country. Yeah. And it's not one of those, like, I don't think it's a flash in the pan thing. I think it's just awesome at 3-point shooting. They're also second in the nation for free throw percentage.
Whoa.
So give me that. Give me the free throws. So sold on Iowa State. No further discussion necessary. Iowa, Colorado.
I'm going Iowa on that.
Yeah, I'm going Iowa. Okay.
Wait, I just think the post presence is going to make a huge difference now, you know, for all of the teams. But with Sonano shooting almost 70% from the floor, come on. And Clark leading the country and scoring with under 28 and then 8 assists, leading the country in that too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a machine right now. That 1-2 punch is going to be tough for them to defend. And their offense, like I said earlier, Colorado, they can put the ball in the basket. Okay. But I think Iowa has enough disruptors defensively. And I also think that Colorado, I'm not sure if they have an answer inside to defend, even if it's double or triple coverage on Monica Sonano. Then what are you going to do with Gabby Marshall? What are you going to do with Warnock? What are you going to do with Clark on the outside? I mean, you know, they have too many weapons. If you load up on Sonano.
I think their starting five is so good. And this is the time when, you know, we have our depth issues with Iowa, but we don't need depth right now. We need 5 players who can stay healthy for 3 weeks.
That part. Kate Martin, too. Don't forget about Kate Martin.
That's what I'm saying. Kate Martin, McKenna Warnock. It's a good team outside of the law firm. Okay, so that's our first two rounds for Greensboro. We'll come back for the Sweet 16 matchups, which are South Carolina and North Carolina, which is going to be really fun. And Iowa State, Iowa. We'll come back to that. Later. Let's move down to Wichita. You ever been to Wichita? Okay.
No, but I am going there for the second round.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Or the third and fourth round.
Yeah.
Third and fourth round. Yeah. So I'll be there next week.
I didn't know. That's awesome. So you're doing, we're both going to College Park. Christy's working for real. I'm just going to hang out. I'll be working, but it's like, I just could sit around and watch basketball. It's amazing. And then you're going to Wichita for the regional finals.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
And you go
so
to
that'll be fun. I do not know that yet.
Okay.
Of this moment, no, I am not, but I will be watching with bated breath. I have been to Wichita before when I was recruiting because I coached in college for 10 years. So there was a junior college there and I went there. And that's been a while, but I've been there once, I think, or maybe twice.
I've heard it's pretty cool now. I've heard Wichita's pretty cool. Regardless, sorry, we can get to the basketball.
We're back.
Louisville versus Albany. Louisville, or we're good on that.
Louisville, yep.
No, guys, thanks for playing Albany. Have a nice year. We'll see you next year.
you said thanks for playing. Okay, go ahead.
Nebraska Gonzaga, and I do have to mention a mistake I said on the last podcast. Ashley Scoggin is actually not with the team anymore, and I forgot about that because we got really excited about the Big 10 teams on our last podcast. That changes a lot of the calculus for Nebraska. Jazz Shelley is an incredible player, and I don't want to take anything away from her. I just think Gonzaga is a little better, so I'm going with the Zags.
I mean, Skaga not being with the team is a crushing blow to them at this juncture because of the way that she spread the floor. I mean, they needed her out there. I mean, Alexis Markowski, the Big Ten freshman of the year, has had such a fantastic season. So they need space. They need floor spacers around a player like that. I mean, she can space the floor too and pick and pops and knocking in three. So don't get that mistaken. But I think without all of your horses in place, that's going to be tough for Nebraska. So, and I love Amy Williams and what she's done with the team and what she stands for and the great mentor that she is for the game and for the young women.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. It's hard to count them out because of Jess Shelley.
And they've been playing without Scoggin for a little bit and they've been playing well. So they lost their first game without her when they played Penn State, and they've won every single game besides their semifinal loss to Iowa. I don't know. Do we just want to go Nebraska here? We like Nebraska.
I think we have to go Nebraska because right, let's go Nebraska. I just think Jazz Shelley, like, she lives for these moments and she could go completely off like triple double style, you know, and Markowski, she is like such a fire motor kid. That's even a word. It's a word now. But she just possesses such a motor about her that, you know, Amy Williams has said she has come into the office, you know, at the beginning of the season anyway, and said, I just want to win. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to say I want to average this and that and the other thing. I want these minutes. It's just like, I don't care. I want to win. And that's the mentality she's had all year, which is why she was freshman of the year.
Yep.
But I just think that, you know, she motivates that team too. As a freshman, she motivates that team to stay the course. And you know, you can't measure that kind of toughness.
And Gonzaga's biggest strengths on the offensive glass, as we mentioned before. I mean, as we've mentioned this stat before, but Nebraska's defensive rebound is actually really strong. So I'm cool picking Nebraska there. Let's move on. Oregon Belmont. Oh, this one was tough for me because I really love Belmont. They pulled off an upset last year. Alicia Clark went there.
She did.
I just think Oregon's an elite team and they're healthy.
They're healthy now. They hit that patch earlier where, wow, they had almost everybody was hurt, you know, from their starting five, at least three of them. So I'm going with Oregon on that one.
Cool. Me too. Tennessee, Buffalo. All right. I'll say one thing and I'll let you pick because I want to hear your pick first.
Okay. Back to this one.
I'll say two things. Jordan Horston may or may not play in this game. We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Has not seemed optimistic. Tennessee is 4-6 in their last 10 games. Okay, so who are you picking?
That was my huge factor. Is Jordan Horston healthy? And if she is healthy, how healthy is she? Mm-hmm. You know, yes, you want to play, but you've fractured your left elbow. Like, it's not a strain.
Yep.
But put some ice on it, put it in a bucket, get some stem on it. No, you fractured an actual bone. Your left elbow. Like, I get it. So what we were talking about before in terms of trending in the proper direction at this juncture, I don't think Tennessee is doing that, unfortunately, because while they were all the way up to number four in the country earlier this season. So this is a team that has struggled. You know, Green went out early too with the knee injury out for the season. So you're taking away some key pieces. And obviously Horson did everything for them. Leading scorer, rebounder, assist maker, steals, like
everything.
Every single statistic she was the leader in. If she does come back because of principle and integrity of the spirit of sport, you just want to be there for your team. You don't want to go out there if you're not 100% healthy. And I don't think she could be. How could she possibly be? I mean, even if they do everything in a great manner, 4 or 5 times a day to treat her, to expedite the healing process, she hasn't played in almost a month now. I think that's going to be hard. So I'm going with Buffalo.
I'm going with Buffalo. Deja Fair is really good. Potential Becky Hammon Award winner.
Yeah.
Give me Buffalo. I think are they the Buffalo Bulls, right?
Oh, don't get me on the mascots. I just know that.
Yeah, they're the Buffalo Bulls.
Leggett Jack is the coach, and that's my girl. So.
No, I like them. The Buffalo Bulls, though. Whatever. We don't have to. We're moving on. Okay. BYU Villanova. I got BYU. I think BYU's been one of the better teams in the country throughout the year. I think, you know, losing in their, they lost to Gonzaga in their conference championship. Mm-hmm. So that's not great, but they've been one of the best teams all year. And Shaley Gonzalez is another Becky Hammon Award nominee.
Yeah.
They're talented all around, their experience. So mm-hmm. I'm going with BYU, as much as Villanova is good. But I think BYU's just better.
I mean, Villanova beat UConn earlier this season. So they have the capability of really, you know, bearing down and getting the job done. However, I think BYU is a team that we haven't discussed enough this season. I think they have really played well as a collective group. Yes, they have their stars, but I think, you know, I don't think that people give them their just due. I think I put them in the same category as like an Iowa State, right? They mm-hmm. consistently stayed, you know, ranked all season long, but it's just, you don't really talk about their makeup and who they are, their philosophies. Like, we don't know about them enough, but we know they're winning and we know how they're getting it done. And it's with great team play. So I'm going with them.
I think they are a little bit underrated. So I think I think they're a little bit motivated, but again, that's 60. Shouts to Villanova. Maddie, I always mess up her last name. Segrist.
That's it.
Perfect. Maddie Segrist, because there's an I before an E. Who makes English last names? That's all I want to know. She's the second. So this is one of our stats from the Her Hoop Stats newsletter, stat for every single team. She is the second leading scorer in Division I with 25.9 points per game to go along with 9.5 rebounds per game since 2009-2010. The only other players to reach those numbers are Chinea Gumake, Megan Gustafson, Alana Deladon, Alicia Clark.
Wow.
Three of them play for the Mystics now.
I was going to say, are we talking about the Mystics or are we talking about... Okay. I like it.
So maybe next year, Maddie Segrist gets on the Mystics and we get all four of those players. Chinea, I don't think, is coming over to the Mystics anytime soon. All right, moving on. BYU over Villanova. Let's go to Michigan and American. I personally love this American team. Yeah. I got to see them in the Pat League semis and finals. They run a motion offense. You will have to prepare for them. You will have to know how it's traditional motion. So it's not the five out motion that a lot of people play.
Right.
You're going to have to prepare for it. They play good, solid defense. They talk a lot. They close out really well. They're one of the best closeout teams in the country. I love their story. I love Emily Fisher, their point guard. I'm picking Michigan.
I'm taking Michigan because of Naz Hillman and Leah Brown. I just think the way they went out of the tournament, to mm-hmm. Nebraska, I just think that was a shocking blow to them. I think that, you know, they struggled down the stretch of the regular season, dropped a couple of games there in Big Ten play, and then lost in the quarters in Indianapolis. I think they're hungry. I think they have something to prove. I mean, they went to the Sweet 16 last year with the same group, essentially. But I like Felia coming off the bench, the freshman, Layla Felia,
mm-hmm.
And what she's able to do as well. So it's not all on the shoulders of Naz Hillman. They have so many great players like Maddie Nolan who can knock in shots. I think it's going to be a really strong testament to the sting of losing in the quarters in the Big Ten. And I think that level of momentum is going to carry them in this game and possibly beyond.
I'm sorry that I wasn't, I was looking away while you were talking. AP All-American teams just dropped.
That was hard.
So we'll talk about that on the next podcast maybe.
Okay.
Also, just like one thing, AP, I get that you're a written media, whatever. Can I just get like a list? Like, I just need like, here's a graphic of all of the people on the list, specifically for when these things drop during our podcast. That's my only thing. That's all I got. For now, and then we'll look at the team momentarily. All right, let's move on. So we both have Michigan there. Shouts to American, though. I think they have a chance, but shouts to American.
Yeah, I mean, great job this year, though.
Oh yeah, yeah, love it for them. Love it for them that they get to go. Let's move on to Ole Miss, South Dakota. South Dakota is a really good team, so I don't think that maybe don't need your pick Ole Miss because South Dakota is really, really good. Actually, our stat for them is they are one of only five teams with the points per play of at least 0.89 on offense and a points allowed per play of 0.71 on defense. So,
oh boy,
really efficient offense, stifling defense. Where do you want to go with that? Who are you going with?
Man. Wait, give me some more stats. Give me some more stats.
Give you some more stats. I mean, let me pull it up. I'll pull it up. So I picked Ole Miss just because I don't think South Dakota is gonna have a great answer for Shakira Austin if she's on one. Okay. They do have some really nice bigs. They never turn the ball over. And that's part of why their offense is super efficient. And those are the teams too. You know, if you don't turn the ball over like they do, and if you shoot free throws and they shoot them pretty well, you're going to have a good chance. Cause that means you're not going to give away the game. So it's not going to be you're not going to be giving away a game. Ole Miss is a team that can give away the game. And we've seen that this season on different occasions. I'll get their turnover rate. I mean, they're actually pretty good in terms of turnover rate, 64th in the nation, but they're a team that can give away games that can lose focus a little bit, but they're also a team that can really pressure you. And when they're on, as we saw against South Carolina in the SEC championship, they can motor back. So I went with Ole Miss, but I think, you know, to me, it's just a coin flip at this point.
I mean, I'd like Ole Miss, but and I'm going with them just to cut to the chase. I am concerned, however, with sometimes they have those lulls in the games. I am a little concerned with that, but I think, you know, the NCAA tournament is the only motivation that you need, and knowing that it's one and done. So I think that may carry them and that may cure the inconsistencies that they have had. And those droughts offensively where, you know, they're trying to get a bucket and it's just not happening for them. But I think they're going to be motivated in this situation to be at their best. So I'm going with them.
All right. Then we move on to Baylor and Hawaii. We're both picking Baylor.
Yes.
Okay. Now, all right. At this point, we're at 49 minutes and we're only through the one and a third of the four we have to do. So
okay, I'll keep it quick.
We're only going to discuss the ones where we disagree. All right.
Okay.
So Louisville, Nebraska. I got Louisville in the second
Louisville.
Round. Okay. Louisville. Moving on. Thank you for being there, Nebraska. Also, that game's at home. Oregon, Buffalo. A little bit more interesting than I think people would think. I think I'm going to Oregon.
Oregon too. I'm going with Oregon in that. Yeah.
I'm going to skip BYU, Michigan for a second. Okay. Ole Miss versus Baylor. I think Baylor's got that.
Baylor.
Okay.
It's going to be a good game, though. It's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be very close.
Well, and you get Nelissa Smith versus Shakira Austin. Hopefully that matchup happens many, many more times throughout the years in the WNBA. Yeah. Okay. BYU, Michigan. I have a feeling we disagree because I got BYU.
Oh, see, you're right. I'm going Michigan.
Okay.
As what I'm saying, I think their momentum of being stung in the Big Ten tournament is going to carry them through.
I don't have like a great statistical reason for this.
I was waiting on it. He saw me waiting on it. I was leaning up.
I don't have a lot of great reasons for this. I like what Michigan's done. I think Nas has been amazing all year. And I think that's very, very clear to everyone. They do sometimes struggle. And I think a team like BYU is a team that can give them problems. I mean, they're really super efficient on offense. They get a lot of their points from three. They space you out a lot. Nas is going to have to play out some in the perimeter. She's proven that she can do that pretty often. Right. They're a team that, you know, they kind of play a little bit like Nebraska, BYU does. And Nebraska just beat Michigan.
I hear that.
That's why I got the upset. I also just kind of want it everywhere else. I don't have I have one other six seed getting to the Sweet 16. I may have too many. But I just kind of, I just think that BYU is really, really good. That's less to do with Michigan. And like picking those upsets where I'm just like, I think BYU just might be flat out better.
Wow. But maybe they're better for some of the game. But I think in the long haul, I think it's going to go Michigan's way.
Okay, let's do rock, paper, scissors for this one.
Okay, let's go. All right. Go, come on.
Rock, paper, scissor. Scissors.
Shoot. Oh, yay! You went after me.
Okay. Just put the hand behind our back on three. We're gonna. All right. So you got your choice.
Okay.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Okay, this is why rock, paper, scissors, shoot is not a good way to decide things. I don't know who came up with this. There's a tie for everything.
Who came up
with rock, paper, scissors? Who came up with this? It's a bad game. Okay, I need a quarter. Actually, I'm just going to Google quarter. Okay,
flip it.
Quarter flip.
We both had a rock. That's good, though.
Okay, we're flipping a coin. All right. All right, call it in the air. It is in the air. Heads or tails?
Tails.
It is heads. We're going with BYU on the official.
I can't see it. I can't see it.
I promise. I would lie. I would not lie.
Okay.
We flipped a coin on Google. It came up heads. I will take a screenshot of this. Just
okay, yeah.
Just
I need for evidence. I need statistical evidence like everything else today.
There we go. I have the screenshot. I'll provide you with a copy. I'll call my lawyers at the
I got two right here. Like
it'll be notarized. It'll be notarized. All right, we got a motor. I'm sorry, the Spokane region. We're probably gonna move. Actually, no, we're not, because this is where the Maryland.
Come on,
we can do it. Okay,
we can do
Let's
it.
Get to all right, Stanford, Montana State, Stanford.
Stanford.
Okay, cool. Let's move to the bottom of the bracket. We're gonna do it a little differently. We're gonna go bottom up here. All right, Texas, Fairfield, Texas.
Easy. Yeah.
Texas is awesome. This one's interesting. Utah, Arkansas. I think you know where I'm going on this, but I'd like to hear.
You're going with Arkansas. I think. But I definitely think they have the tools to get that win,
mm-hmm.
and to move on. I think that's another team that's under the radar, not talked about enough in terms of what they bring. So,
wow, Utah earns a trip to the line on 21% of its 2-point attempts. Well, that's crazy. That's really high.
That is high.
And they shoot free throws well. I think teams that rely too much in getting stuff at the free throw line. Do you agree with this, actually? Teams that get a lot from the free throw line without star players are actually at a disadvantage in the tournament just because refs tend to swallow their whistles more?
I don't know. I mean, I've been I think I told you this when we first started the podcast, that there was a game I was coaching high school, mm-hmm. and we were in the championship game, and we averaged about 20 attempts a game. Mm-hmm. We went to the line one time.
Ooh.
In the championship game, and it was on a fast break, and our kid got hammered on an and mm-hmm. one. She made the shot. That was our only free throw all game. So there's a lot to be said for that. And it was unfortunate, and not that I'm, you know, bringing out the violins or anything, but it does happen where there are no calls in championship situations. And you just, you know, my kids have scratches across their neck, hair pulled out of their head. And, you know, this is what happens. But 21% is a lot.
if you
have relied on that, and I think, you know, when you get to postseason and you're used to going 21% of the time, if you go 2% or 5% of the time, that's going to crush your overall production, which it did for us. And we ended up losing by like, three or five or something.
This story may have like informed this theory in the back of my head, because I forgot that you did tell the story one time.
I did tell that story maybe more than once. That's irritating, but anyway, but go ahead.
Arkansas is they're one of my darling teams. That one of the few teams though that play with a ton of pace and don't turn the ball over. So our stat, the Her Hoop stats thing, you have to go check it out in the newsletter. Only one team in the country turns the ball over less per possession than Arkansas. So they're second in that. They only turn the ball over at 13.5%. So that is good. They don't turn the ball over. They are pretty experienced.
And they shoot threes.
So I think they're good to make the second round over Utah. Okay, here LSU, Jackson State. I had Jackson State in one of my other brackets. I think my first impression one. I'm going with Louisville, though. I mean, with the LSU.
LSU. Okay. LSU. I mean, a three-headed monster on the perimeter for them. I mean, come on. And I think, where do they win? Do they win 25 games this year? 25 and something?
I can tell you that. Oh,
right. I know it's more than 20.
25-5.
Yeah, there we go. 25 wins. I mean, it tells you something. And postseason is, yes, we're talking about free throw percentages and all that and getting to the line or not. Mm-hmm. This part of the season, your guards have to carry you. And not just their scoring ability, but their defense, right? They have to be bringing it like that. And I think when you have Pointer and you have Morris and Cherry, I think those three right there, I mean, I wouldn't want to come down the floor with the ball in my hand and see any of them. So that's just what I'm saying. But I wouldn't want to see anyone because I couldn't really handle the ball. So, but big picture for this year, for the tournament, I think that's what has them at an advantage, their perimeter play.
I think I just wanted to see Kim Mulkey freak out in like her whatever ridiculous sequence tiger shirt she's going to have on, because that was one of the highlights of the conference tournaments. Her having a complete meltdown while wearing a sequence tiger shirt in the SEC tournament against Kentucky. Just like, you can't write that stuff. You can't.
That's a lot.
So hopefully we get that in the tournament.
I'm not mad at her though. I mean, Tom Izzo can do it, you know, without sequins and all that. Hey, Tom Izzo can do it. All these other guys can do it. And once, you know, Kim Mulkey does it, it's like, and I'm not saying you're saying it this, but I'm saying like, as soon as she like, you know, does what she does, it's like, oh my God, she's out of control. No. Oh my God. She has passion. Just like the dudes have passion, and let her live. Like, she loves the game the same way. Stop freaking out and categorizing and putting women in a box for having the same level of passion and energy and love of the game and integrity of the game, period. Okay. I just have to say that, because that's really irritating when there's a double standard for the display of passion and men and women, whether it be coaching or playing. I agree. If you love the game the way you do, if you're intense about it, if you're Phil Jackson-esque, that's cool too. That's you. Do you.
Sure.
If that's how you choose to display your passion and level of whatever energy, then do that. You know.
And I just think it's hilarious. Oh, well. No matter who does it. Coaches, please freak out, because I'm here for it. And let me tell you, if I was a coach, I'd get kicked out of like every third game. 100%, because I have no self-control. So I just find it hilarious. So please, Kim, never ever change on that front. Don't ever change. I'm just saying, it's very entertaining. Yeah. I'd like to see it again. So Jackson State, make it close. Amisha Williams is really good. So watch her. Mm-hmm. Watch her. Okay, we have to move on. We have to move through.
Okay.
Ohio State versus Missouri State or Florida State. No shade to Missouri State or Florida State. I just don't think they're good enough to beat Ohio State, the Big Ten co-champions this year.
Ohio State has too much. And when I say too much, I mean, when you have JC Sheldon and Taylor Mikesell scoring almost 40 plus points a game combined. But also their defense this year has been on another level. Their 2-2-1 pressure is tough to crack. And that's why they won a piece of the regular season title with Iowa, their ability to defend. I mean, if they didn't have that piece of their game in terms of their ability to disrupt, they wouldn't have gotten that share of the regular season title. So, you know, kudos to Kevin McGuff and his team. And plus, I want to see Kevin do the gritty again. I called him out the other day and he tweeted back at me, which is, you know, I was surprised. But it was really funny. So they were like, I think Ohio State said we're going dancing or something. And I was like, we need a remix of the gritty that Kevin McGuff did. And he was like, no, we don't. .. And I was like, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Hey, so funny. It was great. I loved it.
If they get through the Sweet 16, he absolutely has to do it. Okay, let's move up. We're gonna skip past the College Park region area for the moment. Kentucky and Georgia Tech. I got the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. My wife
I had Georgia went there. Tech too. So. And what did you say at the end? I'm sorry. I thought you were
there. My wife went there, so I'm going to pick that. I think Kansas is a lovely team, but I think Georgia Tech is I like them.
Was your wife standing behind you, like breathing down your neck when you were making that choice? Or are you just going on that choice?
No,
You're still a newlywed. It's under a year, so.
She knows I'm just going to do whatever makes her happy. That's, as I always say, I'm married for a reason, folks. I'm not stupid.
Happy wife, happy life. That's all I'm trying to tell you that.
And also, Tech has tournament experience. Rayo Kubai is going to be a best player on the floor in that game. Yeah. And if she's healthy, we'll have to see, right? We'll have to see how healthy she is. She took a nasty bump on the chin. I needed stitches. So we'll see how healthy she is, but I think she's going to be fully ready to go. And I think they'll move on against Kansas, who is a very good team.
They are a very good team. I like Georgia Tech. They were just sturdy in the ACC this year. And Nell Fortner.
Yeah.
Nell, yes, right?
Nell on wheels.
Nell on wheels. Nell, yes. Like, I love it. Or Nell, yeah.
Nell, yeah.
That's what it is. Okay.
Nell, yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Nell, yeah.
Okay, now let's get to the thing we've probably been focusing on the most, which is this College Park first and second round region. Shouts to Maryland for getting the 4 seed. Thank you, Terrapins. Terrapins? How do you say it?
Terrapins.
Terrapins. Obviously they're the Terps. But the Terps get the 4 seed, allowing us to watch these games very close to home. We'll start with Maryland, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know which way we're going. If you listen to this podcast or are looking behind Christy at the moment, we keep up with Maryland very closely. I'm going with Maryland. Do you agree?
I do.
Okay.
But I will say that Jasmine Dickey is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said that she was headed to the WNBA draft last night, on Tuesday night. So she's from Baltimore.
It's going to be low.
And the thing, and to Brenda Freeze's credit, she's from Baltimore. Same with Angel Reese, right? Mm-hmm. They probably bumped past, who knows?
Oh, for sure.
Through high school, AAU and all that stuff. But she was not that player.
No.
Years back. She has worked on her craft and has gotten her game to where it is now. So she didn't miss out on this kid. Like, this kid put in the time and the work. And Jasmine is just a cold killer. She's so tough. And in every aspect of the game. I mean, a double-double machine, another player is going to give you a lot of activity on both sides of the ball. But they need more than that. Against a balanced Maryland team that has everyone back, an experienced Maryland team. I know they played, was it last season? And it was 99-55.
Season
or the year before that? I know I've been jamming in all these nuggets in my head.
I want to say it was last season because I remember that happened.
I believe it was early, like November, December.
It was the year
not
before.
This season, but previous season.
Yeah. Let me see. I think it might be 2009. Yeah, they played in 2019.
Oh, wow. So it was a couple of years.
2 years ago. So, I mean, I bet you a lot of those players on Delaware are still on that team. At least I'll check it now. Jasmine Dickey was there. Lizzie O'Leary, who's a really nice high post passer, and they run a lot of their stuff through her.
They do.
Those two are on the team. I haven't checked the whole roster, but I mean, I'm sure there's fresh memories from getting their butts kicked by Maryland in Maryland. I think that will play in Delaware's favor. And the one thing I will say, because I'm going Maryland too. I toy with the idea of taking Delaware. The one thing that they really have to watch out for, and Maryland this year at times has looked a little loosey-goosey. They've looked a little unfocused at times, and we've mentioned that on this podcast before. If they do that on the defensive glass in this game, they will lose. Because Delaware is one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country. They're 6th in offensive rebounding rate. Maryland is 175th in defensive rebound rate.
Oh, boy.
So, and Jasmine Dickey in particular is excellent as a guard at getting to the right spot to keep sorry, I just got a text that there's a loose dog in our backyard.
Oh, no.
It's probably fun. Not a big deal. But they really have to be focused on keeping Dickey in particular and Delaware as a whole off the offensive glass. And if they didn't come in, not focused, looking ahead, whatever, Delaware can win this game. So that's the one thing I'll say is Delaware is good enough to win this game. They're going to need some help from Maryland being unfocused and not boxing out. I expect Maryland to be good at that. I expect Maryland to be good at that. I expect Diamond Miller in particular to take on, to take some umbrage at this assignment with Jasmine Dickey. Cause I know she's going to, I know there's going to be a lot of people talking about Jasmine, and there's not going to be a lot of people talking about Diamond. I hope Diamond takes it to heart and plays the best game that she can play. Cause she's certainly one of the best players in the nation. So she has to shut down Dickey, not only with the ball in her hands, but on the glass as well.
Absolutely. And for Diamond Miller in the tournament, only to have those 4 points.
Yes.
And yes, it's not always about your scoring ability. She's going to have to score in this game.
Yeah.
She's going to have to be in double figures. Yes, she's going to do her due diligence defensively against Jasmine Dickey, but she also needs to score. They need her point production in this game. Same with Ashley Owusu.
Yeah.
They can't be, and I know Owusu had 17 or 19 in that game in the quarterfinals in the tournament. I get it. She needs to have an efficient offensive game as well. Yes, she had a lot of free throws in that game as well. But when you have a player like Jasmine Dickey who rebounds the ball like a freaking machine, I mean, in that game, what I have it right here, 27 points and 18 rebounds against Drexel in the championship game. Come on. And she's third in the country in scoring with 25 a game behind Caitlin Clark and Maddie Segrist of Villanova, right? I don't know. I just think that, like you said, there has to be some pride taken on the defensive end.
For sure.
But there also has to be some legit lock-in mentality. I'm going at you with no fear. Offensive production from all five starters from Maryland. All five need to, they need to show well in this game. And they need to leave no doubt. And for a team like Delaware, if they do take Jasmine Dickey away, who are the other players who are going to step up? And I know you said O'Leary, right? But
she's not super a scorer. Skinner, Skinner's right. another player who can. She's really their only plus 3 point shooter. So, she's the one that's going to have to get loose, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of scoring, it's Dickey or bust. So she's going to have to get loose. She's going to have to get loose. Tie battle is another one. She's
tie battle there. Inside. Yeah.
Yeah. So it depends what Maryland's going to do. Mm-hmm. I think Maryland has to say, though, like you're saying, you need a little bit of pride. Diamond, shut her down, beat her on both ends. She wants to be this WNBA draft pick. She wants to get this attention right before you shut her down. That's what I would be if I was Brenda Fries. I'd be preaching that all week, just saying,
yeah,
she thinks she's better than you. Show her that she isn't. And hopefully that'll get Maryland focused and ready to go. Because if they come into this game, I'm telling you, if they come into this game thinking about the next one or trying to move on, they're going to lose.
No. Yeah. They have to be focused. And I think if anything from that quarterfinal game, there were some situations and some moments in that game where they just were not focused. And whether that was on the offensive side or the defensive side, they just were not all the way there. And now to be 14-1 at home for Maryland this season, I think that is a huge advantage for them to be playing at home. Not only with the crowd and the momentum swings of games being behind them or with them, I think the confidence of knowing how well they have played at home should count for something for this Maryland team. And, you know, 6th overall in the country and their strength of schedule, I just think they have some advantages there where they're battle tested. We were talking about that with other teams, but I think this Maryland team, they're battle tested. I mean, they've won 5 of the last 7 tournament titles in the Big Ten that send, 6 or more teams every season to the tournament.
I agree.
And 6 teams go this year. So it's a tough conference to play in. And when you can be a 4 seed nationally in the top 16, I mean, that says something as well in terms of expectations, but also ability. So now they need to go ahead and match those two things.
Yeah. And we'll see how healthy Ashley Owusu is. We'll talk a little bit more about Maryland in a second. Let's go over to the other side, though.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, Florida Gulf Coast is going to be the game of the tournament. Yeah. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think this is the game of the tournament. You look at all the 4 factors. They're like super evenly matched. Virginia Tech's a bit better. I mean, Virginia Tech is substantially better on the defensive end than Florida Gulf Coast is. That being said, Florida Gulf Coast is a damn good team. And they run a very sophisticated 5-out motion offense. Mm-hmm. It is tough to defend. It is really, really tough to defend. I think, you mentioned, right? You heard Kenny Brooks, or did you talk to Kenny Brooks And yeah. it's a nightmare to play this team. So I will make our pick in just a second, but I do want to hear what, like, what do you think of this matchup generally?
I'd love it. Number one, because I listened into a Kenny Brooks press conference after selection Sunday. And he was saying that, first of all, Florida Gulf Coast is not a 12 seed. Mm-hmm. He thought that was disrespectful for them. But he also thought that, you know, the way that they played down the stretch, that they weren't quite deserving of a 5 seed. So, I mean, you can look at the whole thing, but they're in, and this is the matchup we have. But I think it's going to be really great to see two high-powered three-point shooting teams. He said that they shot the most threes in the ACC this year. Virginia Tech did.
Yes,
they did. And then he looked at Florida Gulf Coast and what their stats were, and they shot 300 more threes than they did all season. So
first,
this is a team
first in three-point rate. First in three-point rate in the nation.
Wow. Okay. And it's like almost 1,100 attempts from three for Florida Gulf Coast. I mean, let's go. Like, first of all, like you said, you got to be ready to guard that. And a lot of their threes come in transition. And Kirsten Bell is not playing around with you. She's going to be a first round draft pick, transfer from Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
She's a dog. You know, she's a killer. And, you know, they beat Michigan State earlier this season in overtime. And Nia Cloud had 50 in that game, but I digress. But I just think, you know, they have the ability to wear you down. And they wear you down defensively too. And we're talking about their three-point shooting prowess, but they wear you down with their defense as well. And they're going to bring that energy on that side of the floor. So, I mean, I think health comes into picture when we're talking about Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah, no, health definitely comes into the picture. I mean, I talked about this on the ACC tournament podcast. She got hurt. She got hurt in that UNC game, and it was crazy. And there's actually a time where Virginia Tech took the lead on a Georgia Amore layup, and they pan to the sidelines, and you see Kitley, who's like has her shoulder kind of tied into her, kind of pick up her arms, and just like throw. She tried to throw her arms up and she couldn't pick up her arms. So I don't know how healthy she will be. I assume she's going to give it everything she's got, and she's playing in this one. I can't imagine Kenny Brooks going to keep her out. But it'll be, if she's not 100%, then honestly, I think Florida Gulf Coast is maybe the favorite, because I don't understand how Florida Gulf Coast, and we'll get to Princeton, but I don't understand how those two teams are 11 and 12 seeds or 12 and 11 seeds respectively.
Yeah. Yeah,
because their own FGCU's only losses this year are to Princeton, who is a really good team according to all the stats that we have, and Stetson, it's Stetson, but whatever, who cares? You're going to lose in conference once in a while. So I don't know. I mean, this team's just so good. I'm really, really excited. You want to talk about a shooter? Kendall Spray.
Yeah.
88 of 193 this season. That's 45.6%. And her name is Kendall Spray, because she's spraying it from everywhere.
I love it. Hey, I mean, this team makes 11.8 threes per game. Florida Gulf Coast makes, not attempts. Like, a lot of teams take that many threes or whatever like that. No, they make 12 threes per game. You have to be ready for that.
I agree.
They're going to be letting it fly. And Elizabeth Kitley, I know Kenny Brooks also said in the press conference after selection Sunday that, you know, he made the call that she did not play in their last game in the ACC tournament. And she was in tears because she knew what that game meant for the program and for seeding, right? Which is probably why they got the 5 seed and a little disappointed in that. But it's because of situations. And it's because of their health in that in the ACC tournament. So when she got hurt, she tried to grind it out against North Carolina, came back in the second half. And, you know, he said that he made the call because she would have probably tried to play in that last game in the tournament. She was really upset. And again, like we were talking about with Tennessee and Jordan Horston, you want to play so badly that you're going to play through pain and everything, but you don't want that to be a detriment to the overall result for the team either. You don't want to be taking away from the team because you're not 100% healthy. And that is such a grind for you mentally, because you know what you can do when you're healthy, right? And just to have that opportunity taken away, I know it really hurt. I mean, it stings to me just thinking about a coach saying, hey, you can't play in this game. Oh my God. Like, and I haven't played in years, but that just that sinks me in deep down. Like, I know that hurt her. So hopefully she's able to be as close to 100% as possible, because again, you don't want to take away from what the team is trying to accomplish either.
All right, let's make a pick. I'm going Tech. The Fighting Kenny Brooks.
Oh man, I love Kenny Brooks. Man, I love him. You know, he had a great run at JMU. I'm going with Carson Mesko in Florida Gulf Coast.
You know what? I'll change mine. I'll change mine just for that.
I think they're going to upset them, because I don't know about Kitley. I mean, she's ACC Player of the Year. It's not like she's like a random player. Like, she is the key to their success. And if she can't be 100%, I'm giving maybe an overtime game, you know, like they did with Michigan State. I'm saying overtime, Florida Gulf Coast.
There's not a lot separating these teams. So I think we go either way, and I like it. So we're going FGCU. All right, let's pick the second round. Let's stick here in this little Maryland region. We'll talk about Maryland versus FGCU. A lot of the same things we said still apply. I mean, the one thing is, I think in theory, Maryland should be better at switching than FGCU is. I mean, the one switch you're going to have to watch out for is like Katie Benson getting on Kirsten Bell, but they can scram that probably. It depends. They're going to be real. That's the thing with this one too. Maryland's got to be really, really tight on the defensive end against FGCU. I think Virginia Tech is one of those teams who I trust to do that. I'm just not sure if I trust Maryland to be that disciplined on the defensive end, or be able to just switch every single pick or cut that they have.
Yeah, I think what Maryland has done in the last two seasons, when they have changed they've overhauled their defensive schemes to kind of the Texas Tech way of playing on the men's side, which is switch everything and gamble with that. Like you said, they have to scramble out of mismatches. They have to do their best to shade and stay attached, especially to the three-point shooters for Florida Gulf Coast. So I think that's going to be intriguing to see if they can do that. But I like their chances. I like their chances with it. And I think that's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they're not a stranger to Bell, because she was at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. So they have kind of a personnel read on her already, because they physically have competed against her before. So I think that's an advantage. But I also think the overhaul of Maryland's defense is going to be an advantage in this game.
I just realized that scram means scramble. I always thought it was like the big telling the guard to scram. Oh. Get out of here. That made a lot more sense to me.
It's the same deal.
No, it's the same deal. Thing, it's just scramble makes a lot more sense. this is your daily reminder, guys, that I am just a little dumb. I am. It's fine. I don't mind. Let me see what she did against Maryland. It's the only thing I want to see. What Bell did against Maryland. She had 5 points and she had 6 points. In the conference tournament, she had 13 points against Maryland.
Oh.
13, oh. 6, and 5 against Maryland. So that's her most recent experience against Kirsten Bell. So I'm confident picking Maryland here. Are you confident picking Maryland?
I'm going Maryland there, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going with Maryland.
But we'll see. I mean, because again, though, like FGCU, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. So if they just get hot and Bell stays out of foul trouble, and, you know, Maryland or Virginia Tech, they don't have a great strategy against her, like FGCU could totally make it to the Sweet 16.
It'd be a problem. Yeah.
And they're very, very, very underseeded. So that's our little Maryland talk there. And we will be there. So make sure you keep up with us on Twitter.
We'll be there.
Okay, let's pick the rest of the Spokane round of 32. We got Stanford, Georgia Tech. I mean, I like Georgia Tech, but Stanford.
Stanford, yeah. And I love them too, but yeah, Stanford.
Stanford.
They're just solid defensively. Like,
they're so solid all around. And it's just like, it's such a different offensive system that you're not going to be able to prepare, especially as a 9 seed, because you're going to come into that eight nine game really prepared, and then you have to show up against Stanford, and I'm not sure how easy that's going to be to adjust to their offense. So we got Stanford and Maryland in one game in our Sweet 16 in the Spokane region. We have Ohio State LSU in the round of 32. I'm just going to say I picked Ohio State. I think Ohio State's a better team.
Okay, Ohio State.
Oh, no. Did you not want to go with Ohio State? We don't have to.
I like it. I mean, no, I just, you know, we were talking about teams going on droughts sometimes. I mean, Ohio State, sometimes if they can't make their shots, they can't press, right? And that's the thing. Like we were talking about the defense, the three-headed monster on the perimeter for LSU. How disruptive can they be to Ohio State? And if Ohio State can't score, they can't press. That's what's in my head. Those are the wheels.
Can I give you one stat?
Just one. Yes. Stat. Help me.
LSU in free throw percentage, 309th.
Wow.
309th.
Wow. Out of what? 320?
56. 356. Also, and this is something I need to dig into this more, okay. But opponent shooting from 3-point, teams are shooting 34.7% from the 3-point line against LSU.
Oh,
it's 330th in the country. There's a lot of shooting luck in 3-point percentage. I'm not saying there isn't, but typically when you're that bad, that means there's something happening with your closeouts or your scheme. And you know what Ohio State does really well? Shoot the three.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my thinking there.
I hear you. I'll go with Ohio State if they can, you know, they've got to make shots.
They do.
That's my contingency. Like you got to make your shots so that you can apply pressure on the other side. But if those shots aren't falling, my dears, that's going to be stressful.
I think enough of those shots will fall. I think it's going to be a stressful game regardless, but I think enough of those shots will fall.
I agree.
Texas, Arkansas, an old school rivalry here at the bottom of the bracket. I love Woo Pig Suey, the Fighting Mike Neighbors. Really appreciate them. I think they're a good team. Texas will move it on there.
Texas. And plus, I want to see the rematch in the next round.
Texas, Ohio State play? Oh, no, no, no.
No, no, like next.
Oh, that's two rounds. Okay, well, that's Sweet 16. Wow, we may have an update.
I know, we're way ahead, but I mean, that's why I want them to get that one and then move on. I told you my bracket was based upon what I want to see. I want to see a rematch between Texas and Maryland. Ooh. Since they ousted Maryland last year in the Sweet 16. So Texas moving forward.
I want to see a rematch between Texas and Stanford from that game earlier this year. We'll get to that when we talk to the Sweet 16 on our next podcast, which is surely going to be because we're already in an hour 30 minutes and we are just starting the Bridgeport region. No shade to the Bridgeport region. I think it's going to be lovely basketball all around, but we are going to have to motor through it. So NC State, moving on. NC State over Longwood, Mount St. Mary's. Thank you guys for coming. NC State moving on. Washington State, Kansas State. This is going to be interesting. I'm going with Ayuka Lee and Kansas State. I just think she's the best player on the court, and we'll go with her.
Yeah, that's what I put too. I had Kansas State in that slot.
All right, cool. Moving on. We're going to Notre Dame, UMass. This is my 5-12. I don't have any of the other 5-12s. Oh, I guess we do with FGCU now. So maybe we can disagree here, but I have UMass over Notre Dame. UMass has been loved by the net ratings. They're a good team. They just won their conference over a really good team in Dayton. I think Notre Dame has been struggling a little bit lately, including their last loss against the University of Miami. So I do, while I love Olivia Miles, I'm going here with UMass.
I'm going Notre Dame, man. I just think, you know, I think they have the tools to beat them.
Okay.
And the balance and the depth.
All right, we're going to decide this one via who has scored more points in the ACC. That would be Christy Winters Scott. Or actually, it was just Christy Winters back then.
Yeah, back in the day, it was just two names.
Christy Winters guessed on the fact that she has scored a number of ACC baskets, and I have scored zero. So moving on, we're going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma, IUPUI, Ooey Pooey have gotten confirmation that they call themselves Ooey Pooey, so it's fine for us to call them Ooey Pooey.
Yeah, we're doing Ooey Pooey.
Ooey Pooey is a good team.
Yeah.
Ooey Pooey deserves credit. The Jaguars of Indiana University, Purdue University in Indianapolis. I believe that is the full name of the school.
They can
certainly turn it upside here. Oklahoma is a team that shoots threes. They really rely on the three, so if those aren't falling, there's a good chance that IUPUI can win. I'm going with Oklahoma, though.
I'm going with Oklahoma for sure, but Ooey Pooey beat Iowa earlier this year. Mm-hmm. We're talking about early wins earlier in our conversation. But I don't think they have enough to stop what Oklahoma is going to bring them.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think it's going to be an issue for them.
No, I think Oklahoma is going to be really amped up for that game at home too.
Yeah.
Let's keep it motoring. Kentucky, Princeton, perhaps the most interesting first round matchup. I'd say that Virginia Tech FGCU one is. This one's the second most interesting one. And Kentucky and Princeton. Princeton is very good. They just won the Ivy League, and Kentucky obviously went on the magical run in the SEC tournament. So I guess it's a matter of, do you think this Kentucky team is the team we've seen in the last 10 games, or are we going to take the rest of the season more so as an indication of who they are?
I mean, I think they're riding the wave right now.
Okay.
And it's tough to stop it. I mean, if you've ever like been like just kind of wading in the beach water and you turn around, there's a 10-foot wave mm-hmm. over your head, that's Kentucky. Boom. I just think that's just how they're going to go into this tournament, I think, with a ton of confidence. And I don't care what X's and O's you have on the whiteboard in your timeouts or in, you know, your pregame talk. Confidence is a huge factor when you're talking about advancing in the NCAA tournament. And I think Kentucky has that. So I'm going with them.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll change. I have Princeton. And honestly, I think Princeton's a better team. I'll say that. I think Princeton's a better team. I think Kentucky has the momentum. I think they have the best play on the court, and they will have the best play on the court throughout the tournament for mm-hmm. the most part. So I'll switch to Kentucky. They are really good. They're well coached. They're a good team. I think Princeton, it's just not a good matchup because they actually do switch a fair amount. I was watching them play FGCU, and they played them really well. I just think Ryan Howard, this is one of those games where she's not going to have to take over as much as mm-hmm. she's just going to have to wait for her opportunities to shoot. So I think it favors Kentucky. So I'm going with Kentucky, and everyone else has a Princeton upset. So I'll just go with Kentucky mm-hmm. to be a little different.
Interesting.
Let's talk about one of our other favorite, our courtside favorite, Indiana against Charlotte. Indiana against Charlotte. I'm going with the Hoosiers.
I love Kara Consuegra. No. That is my home girl. And she's a toughie. And she has coached her butt off always, but in particular this season, I'm going with Indiana. I mean, they're a juggernaut defensively. I just don't know if they're going to be able to play the way they want to play against the Hoosiers.
I agree. All right. UCF, Florida. I do love the matchups with the local teams. I do wish we kind of separated out the Florida schools altogether. We have UCF and Florida. UCF won the AAC for the first time. Actually, did they win it last year? I don't know. Regardless, UCF's a really good team. Florida made a late surge this year. I'm going with UCF, though.
I had UCF.
Okay.
I just think they've had a more consistent season, and I think their momentum coming into the tournament is strong. So I'm going with them.
Yeah, no, I think, UCF holds, this is from our newsletter as well, which this is just really interesting. That UCF holds opponents to just 0.62 points per play that end in a shot, free throw, trip, or a turnover. That is the best in the country this season and the third lowest since 2016-17 behind the 2019-20 Baylor Bears and the 2020-21 Stephen F. Austin Lumberjacks.
Well, all right.
So there we go. I think that's a good reason to pick them. All right, UConn Mercer. Hey, Mercer, if y'all want to shock the world, now's the time. This would be fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm picking UConn.
UConn.
Okay. Moving on to the second round. These are all still in the home arenas of the higher ranked teams, and we've gone chalk here. So these are all the higher teams are going to coast. All right. So we got NC State versus Kansas State. I like Kansas State. I think they're pretty good. I think Ayoka Lee is nice. I think Elisa Kunane can match up with her straight up. And I think the rest of NC State is much better than the rest of Kansas State. So I'm going Wolfpack.
I'm going Wolfpack too, even with Kunane suffering an ankle injury in the ACC tournament. I think they've had ample time to get mm-hmm. her healed up and taped up and ready to compete. I think that's going to be a really fun matchup to watch, but I'm going with NC State too.
All righty, moving on. Notre Dame, Oklahoma. This will be played where the winds are sweeping down the plains in Norman. this is tough. This one is really tough. I had Oklahoma when they were playing UMass. I honestly picked an upset year just so I didn't have to pick this game, because I don't know which way to go. I think Oklahoma is very talented. I think they shoot the ball better than anyone in the country. I think Taylor Robinson is one of the best shooters we've seen in college basketball. Mm-hmm. That being said, I just think Notre Dame's really good. I like the team. I think they're beatable, but when they're going well, there's not a lot of teams that can match up with them talent-wise. I think Olivia Miles is a genius at time. A young genius. Like, she needs to hone her skills a little bit, but I don't know. I love them. I really like the Notre Dame team if they're humming, and assuming they beat UMass, they'll be humming. So I'm going Notre Dame. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going Notre Dame too. Just for the reasons I said before, with their balance, I think, and confidence moving into this tournament.
Also, we get a rematch here, which I know you like, NC State, Notre Dame.
Yeah, I love rematches. Yeah, and I love rematches.
Notre Dame was, I think, the only team to beat. I'm going to double check this before I say it. The only team to beat the Wolfpack. And yep, they only have one loss, so it was to Notre Dame. So the only team to beat NC State in conference play was Notre Dame.
And that sits with you. I'm telling you, I mean, rematches are great. Sometimes you have to lose in mm-hmm. order to win, you know, because you have to shore up and fix the holes in the boat, as I like to say. But I love a good rematch. Yeah. I mean, there's so much involved, you know, in terms of your pride and your focus. I think that's always intriguing and compelling to watch. So, yeah, I love it.
We got Kentucky at Indiana, traditional tournament rivalry on the men's side. Coming over. This is a toughie.
This is a toughie.
Do you want to give your let me hear your take here first?
Okay. Did they play? I keep getting my years mixed up. Okay, I know they played last year. Last season, did they play in the Bahamas or somewhere? Did they play in November?
I don't think they played each
other. That was last year. Then last year they played them, and Kentucky won that game.
Oh no, they did play Kentucky this year.
See, okay, good. Okay, I'm not going crazy.
Yeah, so it wasn't. It wasn't in the Bahamas. It was in Indiana, which this game will again be in Indiana. Okay. Kentucky lost by 21.
Okay.
That being said. This is like as new a team as you could possibly have. Like, I like that we have a head-to-head matchup. I don't think you could take anything from where Kentucky was there. But
right.
Who you got?
I'm going to go with Indiana. I know, you know, we factored in health with a lot of other players throughout this bracket. Mackenzie Holmes is not excluded from this. I think even in the championship game, she did not look 100% to me in terms of her stamina and cardio. Yes, she was able to play well against Maryland. I believe she had 17 and 9 in that game, in the quarterfinal game where they beat Maryland at the Big Ten tournament. But I think they're going to need Mackenzie Holmes and her presence on 1,000 in this game. And yes, it's a totally different Kentucky team from November. But it's also a different team if Mackenzie Holmes isn't healthy for Indiana at this point. But I think because they're playing in Indiana and because they have everybody back and because Allie Patberg says 2 days after they went on their Elite Eight run last year, can I come back? Mm-hmm. She's hungry for that next step. And I don't think it's going to be an easy fight. That's not going to be an easy win because of how well Kentucky's playing. But with all those factors of experience, location, and hunger, I'm going with Indiana.
All right. Then I have Indiana as well. We'll move down to UCF and UConn. UCF's going to be hungry in that game after years of getting beaten up by UConn. I still think at home, certainly, UConn's moving on.
UConn.
Okay. All right. So that's the end of our first two rounds preview.